Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, my name is Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reedley.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back. And right as we begin, I have a question for Scott.
Okay.
I am obviously running for office.
Obviously.
Obviously, I have to go through a primary.
Okay.
Are you going to vote for me?
No, Eric, I'm not going to vote for you. There you have it.
Why is that?
Well, Eric, I can't vote for you because I am not a member of your party.
Mm.
I was not invited to the primary party. Because, yes, I long ago registered as an independent, and I didn't know any Republicans running for office that I would vote for in a primary or vote against in a primary, mm-hmm. and never occurred to me that that was a thing. And now I can't vote for you. So there you go.
We can. So quirky Oregon question. Independent is actually a party in Oregon.
It's not an independent party.
I'm so not, you're not unaffiliated.
Unaffiliated.
Yes, okay.
Not an independent party. So yes.
So all that to talk about parties a little bit, because if we talk about politics in general, we usually start talking about what party do you belong to, what platform do you toe, what line do you toe? And as we've been thinking about this, it became pretty obvious that if you care about the things the Bible cares about, you're going to get in conflict with the party pretty quick. And it doesn't matter what party you're part of, mm-hmm. independent party, Republican party, Democratic party,
or unaffiliated. but in some respect, that's why I decided to do that, mm-hmm. is I just wanted the freedom to look and assess platforms and look and assess policies, mm-hmm. without being tied to,
right.
maybe some things that I wouldn't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that it's the right way to do it, or I would advocate everybody else do it by any means, but that is why, because you're not really free to care about the whole spectrum if you're in one party or the other. At least you can care about it, but
sure.
it's not part of the party's
sure.
platform in the same way.
As a member of the party, you're not allowed to care about the whole spectrum.
Yeah, or the platform doesn't address the whole spectrum, mm-hmm. in the same,
that's a better way.
In a Christian, mm-hmm. way. And so, yeah, that's one of the ways things we're doing on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We're just figuring out how to say stuff, I exactly. suppose. But that is the issue, I think, for Christians, is because it's really easy to say that, yes, this platform is more biblical or more Christian than this other platform, and therefore almost make it, if you're a Christian, you must be a member of this party.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole party politics is a thing, and it doesn't really cover the full spectrum of biblical concern.
Right.
And it certainly doesn't cover it unilaterally, or equally throughout what the Bible cares about.
Right. And I think at very least, if you take anything from this episode, listener, that should be it. The whatever party you are favorable toward, mm-hmm. it does not investigate all of what the Bible is concerned about at the level at which the Bible is concerned about it. It's going to leave something out. I don't know what that thing is, but right. it's going to leave something out. And if you desire to be a faithful Christian and emphasize the things the Bible emphasizes, then there may be conflict there. There may be just tension. There may be, hey, we're not addressing X, Y, Z, and we should because the Bible says that. And you may hear, oh, that's the other party. Like, oh, well, wait a second.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, we brought this up. The reason we're talking about it today is we brought it up last time, talking about a spectrum, from left to right, or a spectrum of, political options. And in some regard, what I might think about or encourage people to think about is what if you had a kingdom platform?
Mm.
If you had a Christian you know, the kingdom platform that maybe pulled you off of this political spectrum that the two parties are on. It's a kingdom party. What if it is a kingdom party? So that you could then evaluate those things and address them as they were. And that's there is no such thing as a kingdom party. In other words, our system...
And I probably don't want one.
Our system's not built that way. I mean, that kingdom party functions outside the system. Mm-hmm. So you don't want it inside the system. But outside the system, I think you've got to have that kind of view of it. And that's what we talked about last time, is the spectrum from left to right. What if you weren't even on that spectrum?
Right.
What would you do? And that's sort of what we're taking up again today.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think one of the, again, if we're doing full spectrum of Bible, get that word out of my head.
Sorry.
Full survey of Scripture, full survey of Bible, and you are acting in the world and care about the same things the Bible cares about, I think likely, especially in our sphere, in our country, state, city, county, whatever, you would likely be described as too liberal for conservatives and too conservative for liberals. Because you're going to desire to see good ends in particular categories that are usually limited to those parties. We got these over here, and then the other side has these other four over here, and you're going to care about all those things. I recently took a training, and they talked through Jonathan Haidt? Mm-hmm. That's it. His book, The Righteous Mind. And they talked about moral foundations and described his description of six possible moral foundations that people use to think about the world. How ought the world be? What is the moral framework we should think with as we engage the world? And he gave six different moral foundations: caring, fairness, sanctity, loyalty, liberty, and authority. And the interesting thing was, in this class specifically, they talked about how a quote-unquote person of the left would be drawn towards some of these, and a quote-unquote person of the right would be drawn towards the other ones. And they're all applicable. They're all important, yeah. So their examples were caring and fairness. Generally, that's language of the left, language of a more liberal bent, as we describe that spectrum. And again, just get off the spectrum. It's so much easier.
And don't call it necessarily liberal, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You can go back for that episode. It's great.
We use that word in another way.
Exactly. And then sanctity, loyalty, and liberty are things that would resonate with people of the right. But all of those are necessary. All of those need to be taken into account when you're engaging the world, which I find really interesting. But they're all emotional ways of reckoning with the world. And you hear it all the time. Someone who cares about fairness, that's just an emotional reaction. That's a need that's beyond just a rational, we talked about this and got to XYZ because we solved the equation, whatever. And the same thing with loyalty or liberty. It's not always a rational reaction. It's we need liberty. We need this thing. That's just something that struck a chord in my mind. There are many ways to look at the world, many factors in our moral foundation. And for whatever reason, we've limited some of those categories to different parties.
Right. And I think that's a concern. And that's why we're talking about this today, to try and just say, be thoughtful, be critical of the party system and of the way that ends up affecting you as a Christian. Because and this is the thing, when you get your affection or your identity in a party or a political position, you by necessity then ignore some of these other politically tainted things that are also important. Mm-hmm. And then what you're doing is you're either missing some of what the Bible says, or you are driving a wedge between other, Bible-believing Christians who see those other things as more important than your things. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy, and I'm not going to try and rank those, but I just think that we've got to we've got to say, let's hold the political spectrum, you know, more loosely, mm-hmm. and get down in this in kingdom life and kind of try and evaluate the rest of the party system, you might say, from that perspective. You know, we've said this before, people leave church over politics, but rarely do they leave politics over their church. Mm. And what that indicates to me is that what we're talking about today with caring and fairness and, you know, sanctity, loyalty, liberty, all those things somehow have the affections of Christians more than the people in their church, more than the worship of their church. And so that's the concern, I think.
Yeah.
I will tell a little story, because I experienced this a few years ago in a way that I was completely surprised by. I grew up in a pretty conservative, pretty far right household, and saw the world really from that vantage point most of my life, and there were wonderful things about it. But one of the things about it was that we were not big into unions, and we did find a lot of times that unions were promoting ideas about life and politics that did not coincide with what I would read as biblical values. And so it was like, you know, union's not so good. Well, I was invited to pray to open a union regional meeting. So they have, I don't know, they were like all throughout the West Coast, and they all gathered in Portland, and somebody that I was, you know, trying to work with wanted me to be the pastor that prayed for this union. And I didn't know what I was getting into, but I said, sure. And so I went downtown Portland and dressed up and was going to go pray for this opening of this union meeting. And I stepped off the elevator to the floor that they were on, and a representative, obviously I didn't have the right credentials or name badge or whatever, came up to me, and I told him I was a pastor. Oh, he said, we're so glad you're here. We're doing the work of the Lord. And I said, what? I mean, I didn't say that, but I thought, what? And then, and he said, you need to come meet this person. And he introduced me like to the MC. And the MC said, we're so happy to have a pastor here because we really believe we're doing the work of the Lord. And I got the same line twice. And then they introduced me to the president, who was going to start the meeting, and then he was going to hand it to me. And he said, we start these meetings with prayer because we understand ourselves to be doing the work of the Lord. And the third time I heard it, I just thought, what is going on with this? And so before I left, I actually pressed into it and asked somebody, and they said, oh, well, here's the way that we see it. As a union, we're lobbying for better wages for people, and so we're trying to fight poverty, and we understand that to be the work of the Lord, that you need to care for the poor. And I thought, well, they got something there. And then he said, we're working on retirement benefits for the people in the union, and so we're trying to take care of the elderly, and we see that as part of the work of the Lord. And I said, well, okay, I see that too, I guess. And then they said, and we're trying to get health care benefits worked out for the people who work in the union, and we're trying to care for the sick. And I mean, by that point, I was kind of speechless that it was like they're caring for the poor, the sick, and the elderly. I thought, if I did that, I would be doing the work of the Lord for sure, you know? And I was really struck by the fact that just something so completely out of my realm of experience as a pastor, they were doing the work of the Lord, and they were completely on the other side of the political spectrum from where I was and probably even am, but they were doing the work of the Lord. And that just humbled me so much, I guess. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about, is here's this spectrum, and there is a way that they were looking at what they were doing as attempting to do the work of the Lord. And really, if you look at the scriptures, we looked up some of these earlier, there are some things that are in the scriptures that would make you think about both political parties, both sides of the American political spectrum as important. And what, I mean, what would be some of those for you, Eric, if, as you think about those? Well, since I can't vote for you, I mean, do you have anything?
Well, I was looking, I'm just going to start with the first one just as a basic framework. Not that, I think it's easy to look at scripture and go, oh, this one agrees with me, so I'll grab this scripture, and this one doesn't agree with me, so I'll probably just ignore it. But let's start with something just basic. Philippians 4:8 and 9 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And that just helps me, even in your story, they're doing commendable things. They're doing excellent things. You may agree or disagree with the method.
The means.
To the end,
yes. I heard podcasts about that recently.
Go back and listen to that one too. But there's still something good there. There's still a good desire there for sure. And just the call to scripture to think about the things that are worth thinking about, the good, the beautiful, and the true, commendable, just. I mean, especially in government, the work of justice is one of the main things government does. So however that is being implemented, if it's just, it's worth thinking about. If it's just, it's worth commending. Mm-hmm. So that's at a basic level. And then I jump to Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And I think this one is, depending on who's saying it, it's, oh, these are left ideas, or these are right ideas, or if we talk about justice, we're only going to talk about it in a very narrow sense because we're of the right, or we're going to talk about it in a different sense because we're of the left. God clearly cares about justice. God clearly cares about how neighbor is treating neighbor, and has died to redeem the world so he can reconcile it. I mean, he's in the business of justice. And I hear, it seems to me that unless we're talking, go out on a limb, if we're talking about something from the right perspective, unless we're talking about the justice system, we don't really want to talk about justice. It's going to be just this very narrow sense, rather than a broader sense of this is how neighbor ought to interact with neighbor. This is the proper way for people to interact with each other. And if it's not working that way, if it's broken, it should be addressed. And that's caring language, that's fairness language, right? But those are things that if you're sitting on the right, you usually go, you're not talking about the right things. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. There's obviously a role for the justice system. And if you're sitting on the left, you're generally going to go, let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about authority. Let's not talk about how things ought to be in that posture. And it gets downplayed. Depending on which side you're sitting on, you're going to downplay even the description of justice. Mm-hmm. And God says, what does the Lord require of you? He requires justice. We better know what justice is. We better know what is expected, because it's what the Lord expects of us.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the way that you kind of looked at justice from both sides, because that is kind of where we're going with this, right? I mean, you can't just say, I identify with this political party or the right or the left, and say that then is what God wants. God wants justice, period. Mm-hmm. And it might be racial in nature. It might be policing. It might be the justice system. It might be any number of things. And as a Christian, you've kind of got to get your eye on all of those and weigh in some way that upholds justice.
Right.
And that's hard to do if the primary, if your primary affiliation or affection is for one or the other party. I think you only see part of the story then. That's really good. And, you know, I'm thinking of just the most simple, and I think really this, everyone would sort of claim some level of image of God in their policies, that there's human dignity. And any Christian, right or left, would probably be able to derive I hope would be able to derive the human dignity piece from the image of God. And then the application of that dignity probably varies on the right or the left. They would
sure.
They would apply the dignity to different issues. There's all sorts of things. I mean, you talked about justice, but Jeremiah 22:3 is really fantastic. It says, thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness and deliver from the hand of the oppressor who has been robbed, him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. And that's a fairly good description of, you know, a wide swath of justice. You've mm-hmm. got the justice system there. You've got immigration issues there. You've got caring for the elderly and the orphan there. So you've got quite a bit there. And again, you have to be able to address kind of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
if you're...
Oh, go ahead. I think one other... I'm just thinking about piecing this together as we talk. It's too easy to read scripture and allow something other than scripture to define your words. And if you're sitting in a party and you're allowing them to do the defining, you would read scripture and we just talked about Micah, do justice. And if I allow something other than scripture to be the definer of those words, well, what's justice? Oh, it's this very narrow thing. It's justice. I'm making stuff up, but it's just justice system. It's a lot bigger than that. And if you allow scripture to define that, then you're going to be forced to think about how this applies to all of life. And Jeremiah 22 is a good example. This requires a lot of us. There is a lot that we are supposed to be doing in the world that we have probably conveniently ignored because it's just easier. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that to myself as much as to anyone else, mm-hmm. but this is a big undertaking in Jeremiah 22.
Right. Well, it's a big undertaking to be a biblical Christian, a kingdom Christian.
It really is.
And I think that's what we're trying to say is it's bigger mm-hmm. than either of the parties.
Mm-hmm.
And so to stand off of that political spectrum and be able to address justice, whether it's a justice system or racial injustice or whatever from a biblical framework, but not to disengage from that's, I think the temptation is saying, I'm a Christian. I'm going to disengage from these things. I mean, that has been my posture and part of the reason I was unaffiliated probably if I were going to tell the truth so that I didn't have to engage it, but I don't have that as I see the scripture. I don't have that option. I'm looking at some other scriptures that are talking about immigration, for instance. You've got Leviticus 19:34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, of course, this is written to Israel, but it was written to Israel as a nation. And they, you know, we weren't strangers in Egypt. I understand that. But the reality is that God cares for the stranger. And what is my, I can't even say it this way, political position toward, you know, immigrants or toward other people? And then what does the Bible say, if anything, about whether they're legal or illegal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't say anything here about that. So, yeah, those are hard, and they're complicated. But nonetheless, I have to, in my heart of hearts, say, I think the Lord cares for the stranger.
Right.
You know, and I got to get there, even if I have a different policy than you.
Right.
I have to get to that heart thing. I know that God cares for the stranger.
Right.
And I must also.
Right. And your desired policy end, there could be a variety of policy ends there.
Right.
But if you're going to be a exiled ambassador waiting for the kingdom, this has to inform, not even inform, this has to drive the way you think about the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go, oh, never mind that piece. No, if God cares about the stranger, you have to care about the stranger, and you're one of his ambassadors.
Yeah.
And again, there could be multiple methods to do something just in whatever realm you have influence on, but it it needs to have this as an informing piece, as a defining piece. You can't just ignore this.
And we've talked about, you know, this immigration piece. We've talked about the things that you can do to love your neighbor individually and the things that you can do to love your neighbor in the broader world. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to say, we've had a great week, really, in our family as far as loving the immigrant, because we have some good friends who actually came over from another country to be near us, and they became citizens on Monday. And
that's awesome.
It was amazing. Yeah, and we're going to have a party for them this weekend, and there's going to be some other people from their country of origin that come join us, and we might even be the only, you know, native-born Americans at the party. Mm. It's going to be kind of interesting. And that's at the individual level. And I would just say, yeah, if your policy is such that you're going to be tighter on immigration, I think, you know, you're certainly allowed that. And I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility. Mm. Individually, what are you doing to love the immigrant? Mm-hmm. Individually, what are you doing to love the sojourner and stranger? And somewhere, either corporately or individually, I think it would be good to be able to answer the question, I am loving the stranger like God would love the stranger. Mm. And whether you have a policy for that or whether you do it personally, you know, I think we've got to find ways as kingdom people to get to these things that God cares about in some way. Mm-hmm. How does Proverbs 21:13 influence either your personal life or your political life? Whoever closes its ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and be answered. Will call out and not be answered. That does change
the whole
thing.
Toothless.
Yeah, that's right. And now for the good news, right? No, who himself will call out and not be answered. In other words, this isn't about your brother who becomes poor. This isn't about Israel poverty. This is just caring about somebody who's poor. And what are we doing, either personally or policy-wise, I think. But the value is, in the Bible, you've got to somehow care for the poor. And so what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And again, I'm trying to kind of think through my own personal life. Am I making choices that will in some way help somebody out of poverty or prevent poverty or something? And I think I've made some of those choices. What about policies? Probably that's harder. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's more complicated because a lot more money and people involved. But
right.
Anyway, that's what we're talking about when we're thinking about, I think, getting off of the spectrum and not identifying primarily with a party, but identifying with the kingdom and saying, let's get optics into the full spectrum of justice, full spectrum of compassion, full spectrum of these caring, fairness, sanctity, loyalty, liberty, and authority. Let's see those for what they are and go ahead and engage the world as a kingdom ambassador. So
right. Yeah, just on this poor passage. Not a poor passage, it's a passage about the poor. I've been chatting with multiple people just this last week, actually, about homelessness in the area and people who are boots on the ground serving in institutions that are taking care of people that are living on the streets, neighbors that are living on the streets, and from a variety of perspectives and hearing, maybe I'm on the left and we're saying it this way, or maybe I'm on the right and we're saying it this way. And at the end of the day, it was, no, these things are broken and they need to be fixed. And people who have dignity and value and worth because they're image bearers of God are getting bounced around.
They're suffering.
One, because they're on the streets. They don't have a home. That's one piece of it. But also the institutions, the things that we put together in order to remedy that are also broken. And broken people put them together. They didn't put them together well, or they're not managing them well, or whatever. And just thinking about that at a broad, kind of that macro level, it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. This person needs care. This person needs help. And there's probably another podcast episode in there as well about broken people making broken institutions that end up being unhelpful to people because they just keep perpetuating. But I just thought that was an interesting piece. I've been talking with people that would place themselves on various spots of the spectrum, but they're all going, we're just trying to help these people. We're just, and they kind of have it where other people don't. They know here's the good. We need to love these people. I don't really care. I don't really care what perspective you come from. We just want to love these people. So that's been cool and helpful conversations.
Hopefully that's one of the things that will be good for you and a good experience of your, throwing your hat in the ring, mm-hmm. is that you'll have these kind of conversations that the rest of us may not get that help you see a broader perspective on some of these very things we're talking about.
Yeah. And I'll keep sharing them as they come up on here, and maybe I can help all of you out. So, well, I think that's good for today. I want to remind everyone, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. We've been making great strides in getting things on platforms that have not had the podcast. We finally saw some stuff on Google Podcasts, and it's just delightful. It was a lot of work, and Scott has prevailed. So wherever you get your podcasts, we hope you can rate us if that's an applicable thing to do. Obviously, rating helps with the algorithms and all those things, and people, when they're searching for political podcasts, they may find ours if there's more ratings. So if you could do that, that'd be great. Write a review, that goes a long way. Share it with someone. We'd love to be helpful for more people. So if you can share this with a friend, that would be good. And then if you do have questions, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com, and we look forward to the next conversation. Okay.
You could probably start a new file if you wanted.
Well, I might use that at the back end.
Of course you will. Whatever I get on Scott, I'll use.
That was all me. What are you talking about? Okay. 3, 2, 1.